This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're joined in studio by Virginia State Senator Creed Deeds and Delegate David Toscano, here to talk politics and Virginia and all things Commonwealth. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Would love to have you join the conversation. Welcome, gentlemen.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming in. Now, I understand, let's let folks know that you are also appearing tonight. The local group Left of Center is sponsoring an appearance. Y'all are going to appear tonight at Star Hill at 7 o'clock. Is that right?
That's true.
That's it. Not like the Patterson Hood show, I don't think. I'm not certain there'll be quite as much excitement.
Yeah, when I say appear, you won't have musical instruments with you.
But. No, but I have my Christmas tie on, so I'm all ready to go.
You're good to go. Let me ask you, let's go to you first, Cree. What your thoughts on the recent election, because we haven't had a chance to chat since then.
Well, of course, I was quite pleased with Senator Webb's election. Senator-elect Webb, I think he's going to make a great senator. He's going to be a wonderful independent voice for Virginia, and he ran just a superb campaign. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't pick up any congressional seats, and Virginia Democrats didn't pick up any congressional seats. That to me says we still have a lot of work to do, and frankly, we're still playing in the districts that were drawn by the Republicans in 2001. So we still have some work to do.
Yeah, because every Republican congressman or woman from Virginia was reelected.
Absolutely, and every Democratic congressman was reelected.
Right, absolutely. David, what did you think about the recent elections, both nationally and statewide?
Well, it was great news for me nationally to pick up so many seats and to change the character of the House and the Senate. I think statewide, we got to look at the next fall because we've got all 140 seats up in the Senate of Virginia and the House of Delegates. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see how people try to position themselves during the next General Assembly session for the fall campaign. We're hoping to pick up some seats in the House, and I know Senator Deeds would like to perhaps have the Democrats resume control of the Senate. If luck breaks our way and people work hard and we have good candidates, we have a good chance.
Cree, what are the chances of that, of Democrats taking either House in Richmond?
Well, you know, the odds are still against us because, as I said, we're playing in the districts. We're running in the districts the Republicans drew in 2001. They were drawn specifically to elect Republicans. We need 4 seats in the Senate. We need 10 seats in the House. There just so happens there are 4 seats Republicans hold in the state Senate that Tim Kaine won last year when he was elected governor, 3 seats that I won in the Attorney General's campaign, so it's obvious which 4 seats we target. We've got to hold our 17 and pick up 4 seats to get to 21, and we got our work cut out for us, but I think it's definitely doable. I think in the House, I think, has a great opportunity to pick up 4 or 5 seats. I think it'll be a little more difficult to pick up the 10 to get to 51, but frankly, if you pick up 4 this year, you keep hustling, by 2009, you have a chance to take majority.
I was reading something recently that looked at some numbers over the last, 15, 20 years, and all the elections, the Democrats have gotten more and more seats in each House. Every election, the Democrats pick up seats.
Right, and I think you're seeing across the Commonwealth of Virginia a desire from the populace to have people elected to office who really can get things done. There's been gridlock in the House of Delegates and the General Assembly over the last couple of sessions. It's largely because the Republicans in the Senate and the Republicans in the House can't figure out how to govern, and I think people are getting pretty tired of that.
It was announced today, Christina Knuckles in the Virginian Pilot had the story, breaking the story, that Virginia Free, a nonpartisan business organization representing over 300 companies in the Commonwealth, every so often they grade legislators in Richmond, and they had decided to give y'all pretty bad grades based on what happened this past year with the gridlock. And as a matter of fact, they slashed 15 points off of every grade because they said you just can't get things done in Richmond.
Yeah, and I think that's an indication of the level of frustration. I think, you know, the chairman of Virginia Free had an article just published on Bacon's Rebellion, which is a prominent blog, in which he took the Republican leadership to task for not being able to get anything accomplished in the area of transportation. And frankly, I don't think there's much chance we're going to get much accomplished in this session either, because folks can't figure out a way to sit down, work together, and put together a package that works.
You know, there are a lot of organizations that rate the performance of different legislators every year, and every rating system take specific votes, and you got to look at each one with a grain of salt. But of concern to all Virginians should be the changes in the Virginia legislature. You know, the part-time nature of the system. We meet for limited periods of time. We have to earn our primary living outside of the legislature. Is at risk because of this gridlock that continues to drive longer and longer sessions.
Let's go to the phones. Caller, what's your first name?
Hello? Elizabeth.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes, I would just like to make a comment. I think the senator-elect's behavior has been just outrageous, and I really don't understand your comment.
Okay, I guess she's referring to the Alter case. It's got a lot of play recently, and especially in the conservative media, that the interaction between Jim Webb and President Bush.
Well, none of us were there. All we know are what we've read in the media, you know, and I don't have a child in Iraq. I don't know what's going on inside Jim Webb's head. And frankly, I don't know how I would feel if I had a child, who was in harm's way. And Jim Webb's going to do a great job as a Virginia senator. He's going to be an independent voice for Virginia, and I'm very proud to have supported him.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure that either gentleman was too distinguished in how they handled that conversation. And again, we weren't there, so we didn't get the nuance. But I wish they could have both done a little bit different. I think people have to figure out a way to get along to get some things done.
Yeah.
And I think you see that the disputes in Washington more apparently than you do in Richmond. But I think we've got problems in Richmond we've got to work on as well.
We're talking with Delegate David Toscano and Virginia State Senator Cree Deeds in studio on Charlottesville right now. And the phone lines are open for your comments and questions at 977-1070. Eminent domain, can you update us about what's going on in Virginia with this situation? I know a lot of folks are quite interested in this.
Well, there were about 20 bills introduced in the last session to deal with eminent domain. Everybody and their brother rushed to the microphones after the Supreme Court issued their decision in the Kelo matter. Now, all of those bills came through House Courts of Justice Committee, and I'm on that committee. There was a compromise bill that was supported by the housing authorities, local governments, the Association of Realtors. It was a compromise bill, had broad-based support, came out of committee, flew out of committee, got to the House floor, got hijacked on the House floor, and the bill that got passed would have essentially eliminated any prospect to condemn land for schools, roads, for any purpose.
It would have just thrown the baby out with the bathwater.
Thrown the baby out. The Senate passed a great bill, right?
Well, the bill came over to the Senate and was transformed and went to conference committee, and the conference report came out, and it would have opened the door even wider for eminent domain. The problem with the Kelo decision is that it opened up eminent domain for condemnations that would enrich third parties, private citizens, third parties, not government, not necessarily the public interest. There's some argument in Virginia right now that on the basis of our case law, a Kelo type decision is already prevented under Virginia law. The problem with the conference report on that bill last year is it would have opened up Kelo even wider in Virginia, and so it just wasn't going to go anywhere.
And even the Attorney General took the position that we don't have a Kelo problem in Virginia. Right. I think you're going to see legislation this session. Maybe we'll get something passed that will satisfy folks.
Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on with...
You can only go straight.
You can only go straight through.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Right. It is exciting right now.
Sorry about that. So this session in 2007, we'll see something with eminent domain likely. But if I hear you right, we probably won't see much else. It's going to be a quick session. There's, what, $600 million that can be given away in one-time earmarks?
46 days if the session ends when it's supposed to. We've got about $1.1 billion, including the $339 million that was set aside for transportation last year, about $1.1 billion in revenue that is surplus plus the $339 that will have to be that I expect the governor will earmark one way or another in the next budget, which will come out on December 15th.
But folks shouldn't expect to see too much go into transportation because that requires ongoing money, not one-time money, right?
Well, you could put some one-time money into construction projects to jumpstart construction projects. The problem is that I think folks want to have a state transportation plan before you just start putting a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there.
Yeah, and we were talking with Brian Wheeler in the last half hour about how that plan really lacks cohesiveness between land use, you know, what the developer wants to do, where he wants to put her neighborhoods, and where the roads go, and what do we do with all the cars that that neighborhood brings. Where might we see this going in the future? Because I know the governor, when he was running, talked about this very issue.
And we passed several bills last year that began the process of integrating land use planning with transportation planning, put some language in the budget that has VDOT do a traffic analysis, and that basically stopped a 34,000-unit development in Loudoun County just last month. So we are taking important steps. What will happen this year, unless the General Assembly does something that I don't think anybody expects it to, what will happen this year is you'll have some surplus money that probably will go to transportation. But there will be no statewide transportation plan and new funding unless the General Assembly can get its act together and come up with a plan.
And how does it get its act together? What happens?
Well, I think unless there's some kind of change in attitude among the people who are down there now, nothing's going to happen right now in this session. I think if you put some different people at the table, some things might happen, but that might take an election cycle or maybe two.
I think an election cycle might begin to solve the problem.
Let's go to the phones. Denny is on line one. Denny, thanks for the call. You're on with State Senator Cree Deeds and Delegate David Toscano.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Denny.
Good to hear you all. David and Cree, from a guy who normally parks himself on the opposite side of the aisle, I wish to salute you both for your great service and the way you have so effectively represented your constituency here in our district.
Thank you.
I much appreciate everything that both of you are doing. I think you're both doing a stellar job, and I just wanted to let you know that from certainly a guy who has parked himself on the other side of the aisle for the better part of his life.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
What is it? Thanks so much for the call, Denny. Did you have a question? Oh, but we already lost him. What do you think that you're doing that would make somebody, make a conservative or Republican, appreciate what you're doing in Richmond? Do you have any idea?
You know, for me, I've tried very hard. This will be my 16th session. I've tried very hard to be a middle-of-the-road guy who looks for consensus, who doesn't necessarily buy into all things Democrat or all things Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm a committed Democrat, but I've always looked for a middle road. I've looked for a way to build consensus and create win-win situations for the areas I've represented.
And I'm looking to try to forge consensus as well. I mean, there are points where you might try to advance a bill that has maybe difficult sledding ahead, but you just want to push it forward. But you've got to get people on the other side of the aisle to come along. Otherwise, you can't get it passed. And I've been fortunate in one session that I've been able to get a few things done. And hopefully I'm learning all the time and I can do better as time goes by.
David's doing great. He's one of the stars of the incoming the class we just got this past year. We got a great group of freshmen delegates. The truth is, as Democrats, if we're going to get things done in a legislature controlled by Republicans, we have to learn to play well with others. We have to learn to build consensus and create win-win situations and work with the other side, and that's what David and I both try to do.
And frankly, you know, when the Democrats take control, we want to reach out to Republicans on the other side of the aisle, even though they would be in the minority, to bring them in too, because that's part of what it takes to be good governors, stewards of the Commonwealth.
One thing we touched on just a little bit ago was redistricting. And what needs to happen when we do take control is we can't revert to our old patterns of redistricting to serve our best interests. We have to come up with a nonpartisan way to draw the lines so that it's fair to everybody, so that the people are the ones who are districted, not politicians.
So the people pick their elected folks instead of the other way around.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
In just about a minute we have left here before the bottom of the hour, we'll take a break, and we'll continue this discussion with Delegate David Toscano and State Senator Cree Deeds on the other side of this break. But before we go, what was your thoughts on Ed Gillespie? This past weekend, the Virginia GOP chose Ed Gillespie as their new leader. The former national RNC chairman is now the Virginia state chairman.
He'll bring professionalism and fundraising prowess to the Republicans, and you can bet that my back is up and my resolve is hardened to make sure that we are prepared, because I think it's going to be I think he's definitely made it tougher for us.
Yeah, it's very different than if they had chosen Chuck Smith, for example, from Virginia Beach. This is a totally different strategy and game plan now,
and very different contacts all around the country too.
We're talking with Delegate David Toscano and State Senator Cree Deeds. We're going to break for local news and weather and continue this discussion on the other side of this break. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's talk about Bob Gibson wrote an article recently in the Charlottesville Daily Progress regarding judicial nominations. Judge Petros has announced that he's retiring. That will open up a seat in the circuit judge seat here in the 16th Judicial Circuit. What is the process that we go through to fill that seat? Because we understand there's been a lot of local lawyers who have already tossed their hat in the ring, and I'm sure that both of you are already getting phone calls.
Well, you know, first of all, this is a huge district. It goes all the way east to Goochland, up to Madison and Culpeper. So it's not just Charlottesville, Albemarle. Historically, people have seen this seat as a kind of an Albemarle seat. And that may explain one of the reasons why we have so many people who are offering themselves to be judge. And there are really some good folks in the mix. Now, the question becomes, how do you develop a selection process that brings forth the best candidate? And my concern has always been that we have a process that is nonpartisan as far as we can take it. Ultimately, the General Assembly has to approve the judges, and that is a political decision. But we should try to get as far as we can get in a nonpartisan fashion to develop a consensus candidate. The bar will have a selection process. They will make recommendations to us. There may be other groups who participate in that process as well. Ultimately, it's the elected officials will make the decision.
You know, the selection of judges in Virginia is the most partisan decision made except for drawing districts.
Really?
It's awfully partisan. When I was in the majority in the House of Delegates, I introduced bills several times in the mid-90s to create a nonpartisan method for selection of judges, because I'm not certain that partisanship has a role in the selection of judges, and if it does, I'm not sure why the people aren't more directly involved like they are in other states. But the problem is it remains partisan. The selection will be made in the Republican caucus. You know, the thing that I'll consider more than anything that I consider to the extent that I've got a role in the process is the recommendation of local bars, because the local bar association has, in my view, has the best idea of the temperament and ability of the candidates for the judgeship.
These are people that have literally worked with this person.
Absolutely.
So they know how he or she is on a day-to-day professional level.
That's right. They can judge their temperament, which I think is a really important element of being a good judge. You have to have a firm knowledge of the law in a wide variety of subject areas. You know, my concern is that it's my hope that we can at least get far enough down the road in the process and maintain some degree of nonpartisanship in the process. If it comes to the point where a vote has to be taken on partisan grounds, well, so be it. But at least let's make a shot at creating a selection process that is as nonpartisan as we can make it.
We're talking with Delegate David Toscano and Virginia State Senator Cree Deeds. David, can we talk about, and Cree as well, this whole idea of the minimum wage? Because I know that, and you have stated publicly, that you plan on carrying legislation in January to the General Assembly to increase the state level. There's talk of the Democrats in Washington when they get in January of raising that. But you explain to us exactly what you plan to do and the motivation behind it.
Well, last Saturday, we broke the record for the longest period without an increase in the federal minimum wage since it was enacted in 1938. And that's not a great record that you want to break. I've always believed that the minimum wage should be set at the federal level. Unfortunately, the Congress has not seen fit to raise the minimum wage, and consequently, a number of states have stepped in. There are now 29 states in the District of Columbia who have raised the minimum wage either by some kind of state legislative action or by referendum. I think there were 5 or 6 states last fall that approved by referendum increases in the minimum wage.
Higher than the federal level.
Higher than the federal level. My bill is a two-step process, so you don't have too many disruptions in the labor market, and it gets you to $7.25, which is the target rate that the national Democrats and some Republicans have focused on to change at the federal level. And we'll just have to see where it goes. It may be preempted by the federal legislation. I hope so. I hope that happens.
Is that in their package, their 100-hour package that they're putting together to change things right off the bat in that first 100 hours?
Presumably that's number one in the 100 hours, so we're going to see how fast that 100 hours lasts.
And I'm just ignorant on this. Is Virginia law say that we are default what the federal level is, or do we have to then change it? If they raise it in Washington, then we have to change to match it, and we will be below that until then.
We default.
If the feds raise it, then we have to abide by it.
Okay. We're talking with Cree Deeds and Delegate David Toscano. Did you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, 515 is not sufficient wage for anybody, and it needs to be raised. I prefer that we're raised at the federal level, too. We'll wait and see.
Let's talk about, were there anything that you plan to carry in January? I know you probably have dozens of things in your pocket you'll be taking with you to Richmond. But
I've got a district that's spread out all over creation, and I've got bills and ideas that come from every one of those localities. And I'm a number of bills. I mean, the one that I've put a lot of heart and soul in over the last 5 or 6 years is this notion of creation of redistricting commission. And the encouraging thing is that 2 years ago I got a Republican vote when the bill died on a 7-7 vote in committee, and I'm going to be working it hard again this year to try to create something that works well in other states like Iowa and New Jersey and Wyoming and Pennsylvania, and I think it can work well here.
And the idea is what, basically?
The idea is that you have a commission outside of the context of the General Assembly that's going to be membership of the General Assembly directly affected by the districts they have to run in. You have a commission that's created outside of the context of the General Assembly that draws the districts. You know, right now, the Supreme Court of the United States says it's all right to consider where an incumbent lives when you're drawing districts, and certain partisan considerations are all right. Well, in Iowa, they draw a district, and the only thing they consider is population. And as a result, you have many, many competitive races, and I think people are well served by competition in the political arena.
I think it would make sense to most people that we try to come up with a nonpartisan way to do this,
right,
so that we avoid the gerrymandering and we avoid the politicians picking their voters and not the other way around.
Well, listen, you know, I didn't pick the Senate district because I wasn't in the Senate when this district was drawn. But the notion of Bath County and Charlottesville, Albemarle County being the same legislative district is pretty interesting. You know, we were in the 7th district, the 7th congressional district back in the 60s before the 1970, 71 redistricting plan. But to be in the same legislative district is pretty interesting.
David, what are you hearing from your constituents here in Charlottesville, Albemarle in advance of the session that starts in just a few weeks in January?
Well, you hear everything from comments on the big issues, like I consider minimum wage a big issue, and so I get a lot of comments about that. And then you get a number of people who come in and want to talk about a specific little thing that they want to have done. And so I've got a file of legislative ideas that I have to go through, asked to be drafted by legislative services, and ultimately determine whether or not I want to introduce. And so I had some folks in to talk about the schools today, and we had the city telling us about toy vehicles and how they needed to be better regulated. I'm thinking about a bill that would require defibrillators to be installed in certain size health clubs across the Commonwealth. So these are things that people bring to us, and we try to look at them and try to figure out whether we think they're reasonable ideas that we can get passed.
Delegate David Toscano and Virginia State Senator Cree Deeds, will you both be running for re-election next year?
Well, we haven't made that decision yet. We got to get through. But likely I'm going to run again.
Do you want to make the announcement right here on this program?
We both intend to run for re-election. We'll make announcements in the spring.
Formal announcements.
Thank you both for being here today, and thank you for your service to the Commonwealth. They'll be appearing tonight at Star Hill, 7 o'clock on West Main Street, in a talk sponsored by Left of Center. Again, that's 7 o'clock. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com and bits and pieces on WINA On Demand at WINA.com. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.